Want to get us started?
Sure.
Praise you, Lord.
Father, your word says that I will never leave you. So that means that you're with us right now, Lord.
Yes.
You fill this room, you fill our hearts, you're inside of us, and you said, I'll never leave you. So that means that you're here. You said, I'll never forsake you. So regardless of where we've been this week, what we've done, what we've said, I'll never forsake you, the Lord said.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. So we may boldly declare, the word says, that the Lord is our helper. He is my helper. You're the helper of everybody in this room.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, right now, this morning, we need the helper. We need your Holy Spirit, Father, to come and lead and guide and direct us into the truth. So, Father, we open our hearts. We come willingly. We come thankfully. And we come gratefully before the throne of God this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And we open our hearts, God, like little birdies with their mouth open, waiting to receive from their mother.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we open the hearts of our mouth right now to receive what you had to give to us this morning. Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are awake.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, when Oscar asked me to take Psalms 32, I thought, oh, man, I wish it was Psalms 34. It just seems to be a lot more meat in that, you know, and be an easier job. But I started reading Psalms 32 because I thought, it's pretty self-explanatory. And then, like the onion, the layers started coming off. And it got really interesting. And we're going to start things off. Who has the King James Version? Okay. Let me just set it up a little bit. This King James Version says that Psalms 32, the happiness of the forgiven, the joy of forgiveness. Others say, I like this one, God's forgiveness. Gateway to happiness.
Yes.
You know, it's okay that Christians are happy. Some I've heard some things out there where, you know, well, God doesn't care about our happiness. Well, we're going to find out he does. You know, joy and happiness, yeah, they're kind of a similar, but they are different. And he does care about our happiness. Now, not as the world sees it, maybe, but as you're going to see as he sees it. So the first, can you go ahead and read that? First,
sure.
The first two, let me just, before I do that, what does it say, Kathy, on, if you have the King James, it says a Psalm of David, and then there's a word that begins with an M.
Mashiel.
Yeah, Maskeel.
Maskeel.
Okay, do y'all know what Maskeel is? I didn't either. Okay, it's very interesting, though. Maskeel is enlightenment, instruction. It's considered a teaching psalm. It derives from the Hebrew root word meaning to have insight, to ponder, and wisely understand. A maskil is skillfully written poem aimed at imparting wisdom in song. So I just thought that was very interesting, and you don't see it much in the Bible. You know, another thing is Psalms 32 is recited on Yom Kippur every year, which Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It is the one day in Jewish law, history, or whatever, that everybody is clean and everybody is, you know, presentable to the Lord. It is the central theme in this is atonement and repentance. Okay. Okay, so we're going to start off with the first two verses, and you're going to find out that the first two verses are Beatitudes. We think of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. these two first few verses are Beatitudes in Psalms 32. And also, many believe that Psalms 51 and Psalms 32 were written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. So there's the setup of this chapter here. So go ahead, Kathy, if you will.
One and two?
Yeah.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Okay, first thing I saw in verse 1, a lot of italicized words, okay? So they were placed in there for meaning. This just blew me away. God is sometimes gets matter of fact. He said, blessed, transgressions forgiven, sin covered. Done. Matter of fact, it's done. You know, no more discussion on this. Isn't that great?
Yes,
I mean, that's
yes,
why
yes.
They call this the happy chapter. I mean, that's why this is the gateway to happiness. And you're going to see some of the keys to that happiness as we go along. But, I mean, I thought that was good. You're blessed. And, you know, your transgression is forgiven. Your transgression's forgiven. And sin covered. End of story.
When you read that, or when we came in and sat down, the first thing I thought of, I had to come and look it up, was 2 Corinthians 5:19, because in the New Testament, it says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the world of the word of reconciliation. This is something for the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And then it goes on, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. So God doesn't impute iniquity into you, so don't do it yourself.
That's very true.
I mean, you know, we've been talking about this mistaken identity thing, you know, for weeks now. It's like, okay, God doesn't look at you and say, sinner, 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 sinner. God looks at you and says, righteous, 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 righteous. We got to accept that. That's, I mean, you know, I think some places I've been, they go, well, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner, you know. Well, you were. You're not now. And you didn't do anything to earn it. Jesus paid the price.
Rich, can I say something?
Yes.
That scripture that you just read, Kathy, about reconciliation, there's two words back in that scripture, two different words translated as the word reconciliation. One of them is to compound the difference. And the way I look at that is when you take two words and you put them together, they become a compound word.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's one word. It's changed into one word. And what Christ did in reconciling us to himself was he compounded the difference. He added himself to us. And it made us something entirely different than what we were before. And then the other word is, if you was to have read a lot of that other stuff about reconciliation there, the other word is fully reconciled. If you fully do something, you can't do it any more than fully. Fully is the ultimate. So he has fully reconciled us unto himself. And when we come to realize that we can fully reconcile, then we don't have to walk in condemnation. We don't have to walk in guilt. We don't have to walk in any of those things because of what he's already done for us. But I just thought it's
good. Well, the first two verses are Beatitudes, okay? The word beatitude means a state of blessedness. perfect happiness. Who wants that? But that can only come from God. You can't manufacture and work that up yourself. Another thing I wanted to say in this chapter, there's just a lot of selahs. More than I've seen in any other chapter. Maybe there are more out there. This is not a long chapter, but the word selah is, you know, just pause for reflection. So that's what, you know, a lot of that, this whole script. I mean, this whole 32, Psalms 32, is just loaded. The word blessed means happiness, but the root word I thought was really interesting. It says to go straight on and make progress. The dictionary says divinely favored. Now, I challenge all of you from this day forward, if someone says, well, how are you doing today? I'm divinely favored. I mean, seriously, if you say, well, I'm not doing good, or I hate this one, fair to Midland, guess what? Self-fulfilling prophecy. You will be just fair. Who wants to be fair? So next time someone asks you, just say, divinely favored, or supremely favored. Either one. You know, they might think you're a little arrogant at first, but if they do understand, they can be too if they're not. And hopefully they are. Blessed, happy. Verse 2 says in the NLT, yes, what joy for those who record the Lord, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. And then also the second verse has that word imputing. Impute is to charge, impute, reckon. God does not charge us as sinners. He charges us as righteous. This psalm is about blessedness of imputed righteousness, which excludes good works. Nothing you can dig up yourself. Okay, go to Romans 4:8.
Blessed is the man to whom
the Lord will not impute sin.
Okay, Paul quotes this. The psalm that we're in right now is quoted by Paul in Romans 4:8. I like how, does anybody have the message? Mike, you have the message?
Mm-hmm. When you get there. Get my eyeballs focused. Do you think for a minute...
Start with 4:6.
You want me to start 6?
Yeah,
David,
please.
David confirms this way of looking at it, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say... And it is one fortunate man. Fortunate those whose crimes are carted off, whose sins are wiped clean from the slate. Fortunate the person against whom the Lord does not keep score. Do you think for a minute that this blessing is only pronounced over those of us who keep our religious ways and are circumcised? Or do you think it is possible that the blessing could be given to those who never even heard of our ways, who never brought up in the disciplines of God? We all agree, don't we, that it was by embracing what God did for him that Abraham was declared fit before God.
Good stuff.
That's
good
what we
stuff.
Talked about last Wednesday.
Yeah, it says, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say in it is one fortunate man. Without... Debbie's laughing.
Good.
Yeah, it is. We do like to get involved, don't we? Mm-hmm. Total surrender to anything God does in our life. Wow. Total surrender. Mm-hmm. Not 80% surrender. Mm-hmm. 95% surrender. he showed me this, that he is the captain of the ship. You know, he's the captain. We're the first mate. Do y'all know what the first mate's responsibility is?
To do whatever the captain tells him to do.
That, definitely. They're in charge second. So if you're on the ship and the first mate, you know, is the second in command. You know, so with your ship, you're either in command and you know, I asked the question, are you willing to give the captain his rightful place and submit to his wisdom and authority, or are you going to usurp his authority? And I looked up the word usurp. It's to take something over without the authority to do it. So it's all about trust. It's all about the key to this whole chapter is trusting God. Are you going to trust him to be your captain? Are you going to take your rightful place as first mate? That's still a pretty good position on the ship, you know? But with his wisdom and power to steer the boat, your life, knowing what's best for you, after all, isn't he omnipresent, you know, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present? Geez, couldn't we have a better captain than that? I mean, is there such a captain out there that would be better than... I mean, I'd definitely submit to his authority. Amplified, I love it. Blessed and happy and to be envied are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered up and completely buried. This is the difference between Psalms 23 and Romans 5. They talked about covering it all up in the Old Testament. Here, it's buried. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed and happy and to be envied is a person whose sin the Lord will take no account nor reckon it against him. That's a bunch right there. Comments? Well, comments about anything so far. Okay, it says, blessed and happy and to be envied. Hallelujah.
Comment from the corner.
There you go. Thank you, Lord. But in the Amplified, I like how it says, it doesn't just say blessed, it says blessed and happy and to be envied. To be envied. I mean, you really don't see that in the word envy in the Christian walk, really. I mean, how many times do you see that word envy?
And especially in a positive way.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now, someone's got something to say. It's time.
I'm looking down to the next three verses. And, of course, you know me, I always like it coming out of the Message, so. I'm just going to read it. It says, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, mm-hmm. I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. And suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved and my sin disappeared.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, huh? If we can just admit what our transgressions are and lay them at the feet of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, the word confess is to cast down, to throw down. And the root word is hand of a man. Strength and power.
Well, I like the thing where it says here, the pressure never let up. Think about it. We all walk around going, oh, man, you know, I did this, or whoa, I shouldn't have done that, or I, you know. And then when you lay it at the feet of the Lord, it's like, okay, all right, I did it. I made the mistake. But it's already wiped clean.
Well, what has to take place for that to happen?
Agreement. Yeah.
But what's taking place in here?
Change. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, back to that says the hand of man. It says when you, just putting that together, when you confess your sins, you are throwing down your strength in a situation and trusting in His strength.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It, what's going on in here is it's humbling to sit there and say, man, I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
I really messed up. But that's what the Lord loves.
Yes.
He loves that humble and contrite spirit. And if you can humble yourself to that point, then you begin trusting in Him that He's going to make it right.
I can't get that picture out of my brain that He's the captain and you're the first mate and usurping, which is taking without authority. And I keep thinking to myself, well, you know, there are a lot of times when I am not in command, you know, even in the natural. And as long as someone seems to be in command that you're copacetic with and that they're doing everything you would have done anyway, if you were in command, you know, you're always good with that. But when the captain is doing things that you just don't get and, you know, that's when it is very difficult to not usurp the authority because you can't see what they see. You're not privy to all the information that they have. You can't see what's around the bend, you know, but they can. That's when it becomes more difficult to not usurp and to stay in that place of trust and to still do what He says to do and say what He says to say.
We were talking about that driving to church, that when you're in a bad situation and you're going through something bad, you don't see the outcome. We don't know the outcome, so it's all going to do more going through it. But like years later, at least in the circumstance we were talking about, it was the best thing that could happen.
Yes.
So like basically yes. Talking about when I went through a custody battle with my oldest son, he was 12, now he's 18. It was like a really bad time for all of us, but now we see that's the best thing that should have happened. Thing that could happen.
Yes.
I mean, when the first mate and the captain are united, wow. I mean, not only like with Roy Ralph speaking last week about, you know, servants, friends, and sons, you know, a good first mate, especially if that captain is the Lord. So you 100% trust. We're not talking about a human being. We're talking about the Lord, okay? So you can give 100%, okay? But when that first mate really gets close to that captain and really studies that captain and really watches the ways of the captain, you know, there's times then at that point, like Roy's talking about as sons, we already know what to do. The first mate already knows. There are certain things in a case of crisis or whatever, the first mate takes his rightful place, knowing exactly what the captain would expect him to do. But he's been around that captain so long, and he studied that captain, and he knows the captain's ways. And the captain's ways are becoming more his ways. And he's transforming and conforming and whatever into that captain. And then at that point in time, basically it's flows. It's just smooth. It's a seamless thing that everything is done exactly the way the captain wants it done. And what a wonderful thing that. Mm-hmm. That's pure joy, pure happiness. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this scripture is talking about.
Rich, one of the reasons that that we should come to a place of complete trust in the Lord, yes, is that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Yes.
And what you're talking about, the captain, the difference between the captain and the first mate is that 99% of the time, the captain has traveled that route many, many times already.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows good. All of the hazards. Mm-hmm. He knows all of the turns that need to be made, where the first mate doesn't always know. And in our lives, we don't know what God's doing.
Right.
99% of the time, we don't know what God's doing. And the reason being is that if we don't trust Him blindly, then, you know, we're going to have it. There's no faith gendered in us. There's no, the grace is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, it's there, but it's not really functioning in the way that it should, in the sense that if you knew everything that God was doing continuously, there'd be no trial in it. There'd be no growth in it. It would just be, you'd be like a robot. You'd just be blindly going along doing something. And what it really amounts out to is His grace has to work into us, and His divine, the definition for grace, the divine influence upon the heart, and then its reflection out into the life. As He influences us, and we let it reflect out into our lives, we're changed from glory to glory into that very image of His Son. And you know, we have to realize that as we trust Him and move with Him each and every day, knowing that He's been tempted in every point such as we are, even when we fall short from that first part of the scripture we read, even when we fall short, we realize that if we confess our faults, like it says in John, He's faithful and just to forgive us our faults, our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. But then it goes ahead and says, but even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get no better than that. So even if you feel condemnation, His mercy and love is greater than that condemnation that you feel. You know, and if we confess before Him, then we're cleansed from that and it's lifted from us. You know, what a tremendous God. Wow.
Yes.
Rich, when the captain of our salvation had his death before him, so many times we don't know how to pray either, and he didn't. I mean, he prayed, you know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we should remember that when we're praying a lot, instead of trying to boss God around, telling him how to do it. You know, we have no clue, thy will be done.
Yeah, that scripture did come to mind when all this, because nevertheless, thy will be done. And sometimes that's a hard thing to say. It was hard for Jesus, so you know it's going to be hard for us at times, for sure. The Lord then took me to Samuel, when Samuel and Saul, what scripture is that? 1 Samuel 15. You know, back to that idea of just how important it is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know what happened there. The Amalekites were told, God told Saul to just utterly destroy the Amalekites, and it didn't happen that way. Saul's men came back with some goats and sheep and whatever, and he kept the king too. And but Lord, these were going to be sacrificed to you, you know. And Samuel got a little peeved at Saul and said, be quiet and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. This is verse 16. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And then it goes on and says, and Saul, down in verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on to the mission on which the Lord sent me. That kind of reminded me of, you know, if you tell a kid to clean a room, a messy room, they might move three things, and you come in and you go, well, this room hasn't been, well, I cleaned this and this and this, but, you know, in other words, Saul in his own mind was saying, hey, I did exactly what you said to do. But down deep, Saul knew that that wasn't the case. And that's where we got the famous scripture, you know, sacrifice, or obedience is better than sacrifice. It says, to sacrifice to the Lord, says, he has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It just all comes back to that trust. And if you trust, you're going to obey.
Trust and obey.
Yep.
What you said about that scripture where it read and said that when you were little in your own eyes, you have to realize that Saul, scripture tells us, was head and shoulders bigger than everyone else in the kingdom. So he was a big guy. But when Samuel first came to him to anoint him as king of Israel, he began to say, I'm the least in the kingdom. Why would you ask me? And he kind of hid back and everything. So he was kind of reserved, you know. But here, once he entered into that relationship there, he began to get big in his own eyes. And he began to think, well, bless God, I'm going to be the captain of the ship, so to speak. You know, I'm going to do something for God. And he was doing something for God. He was going to bring all that stuff back and sacrifice it to the Lord. But that isn't what the Lord told him to do. And you know, we have to learn from that and know that if God tells you to do something, do exactly that. I used to love when Brother Carl used to speak years ago, because he'd be speaking sometimes and then he'd just abruptly stop. And he'd say, that's all the Lord gave me. And you know, that's exactly what we should do. Exactly what he gives you, exactly what he tells you to do. Do that and only that. Don't go beyond that. You know? And so many times you'll hear somebody prophesy or something, and they'll prophesy, and then when the prophecy's really over, they'll add a few little things in there at the end. Well, then the few little things in there at the end is liable to be the thing that's going to send that person in the wrong direction. You know? And we need to learn that you know, obedience is better than sacrifice, and whatever God tells you to do, stop. Do exactly what he tells you, and then stop.
Anyone else? Because I'm about ready to stop. I've got a couple more verses. But I do want to kind of see if y'all have any thoughts on this. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Before Christ, after Christ. Man, something huge happened on the cross.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, huge. And, you know, I've even heard people kind of, I'm not saying they say don't, you don't have to ever repent or confess sins or whatever, but we're forgiven, past, present, and future, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, any thought, I mean, I don't know if I'm not conveying basically what I'm thinking in here, so let me see if I can, but, in the, you know, back in the old days, they just covered sins, you know. And now it says because of what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, he was the sacrificial lamb that died for every sin that we could ever commit. So where does that mesh, you know, as far as, I mean, are we still... which I know the answer. Are we still supposed to confess every single sin and repent. And I know repenting, I think, is more important than confessing. Because you can confess some more, but if you haven't repented, if you haven't turned away from the sin, then you're going to be doing a lot more confessing. Is any of this making sense?
Yes.
But usually if you confess, you're sorry for what you did.
True. But did you repent?
I see in the Old Testament the covering of sin being kind of a traditional thing. They had sacrifices, animal sacrifices. But I see in our New Testament relationship with God, the confessing and the repenting is not for salvation. It's toward the relationship
yes.
that we want to have with our Father. I can't stand to have something that I haven't told Mike. That's not in our relationship. You know what I mean? And trusting and sacrificing or surrendering. I heard several times you were saying 80% or 90% are completely trusting God. Do you know if you don't completely trust in God, you don't trust in God? There's no 80% trust in God and 20% of the time I'm trusting my own self, because then you're not trusting God. Where the rubber meets the road, that's 100% or nothing. And I believe that's the same with surrender. You don't surrender 80%. You have a switchblade in your back pocket. If you surrender, you are done. You surrender. And I see that in our New Testament relationship with the Lord. The surrender and the trust are 100%. And the hurt in our own life when we hold back anything hurts us
even more.
Yeah.
Oscar quoted that scripture before from John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of times I don't think we have it in ourselves. I mean, he has to be the doer. Mm-hmm. He has to be the cleanser. I mean, you confess it and say, Lord, Paul did it. I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I should do. And he is the enabler to get where we need to be to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I think if we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, see, I don't really differentiate between the two. I think it's just all the testament of God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really say, let's face it, there was a covenant that he brought in the law. He brought in to show the exceedingly sinfulness of sin. That's why he brought it in. Because we know that no one could actually fulfill those
That's
commandments
right.
that he gave. Because we would all fall short. And he brought that in to show us that we would fall short. So that we would realize our need for God. And you look at David and you look at Saul. You know what Saul did? Saul was disobedient in that one thing there. And Saul let his anger and different things come up against David different times. David committed adultery, had a man killed on purpose, did all kind of things that were way worse in the natural. If they both went to court, who would have got the death penalty? David, not Saul. But the difference was when Saul was confronted by God with what went on, he made excuses. Yeah, but God, I brought back these sacrifices because I wanted to give them to you. And I was going to do something nice for you. And he began to make excuses. What did David do? David fell on the mercy of the Lord.
Sackcloth
and said,
ashes.
Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me.
Yeah.
And he began to confess. And that's where that confession, see, he David stepped up into the deep relationship with God. He was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? Because he knew how to look at himself when he was wrong and admit that he was wrong. That's the hardest thing that we all have to do in our lives, is admit when we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
We like to be right. No,
showbread.
Addicted. He went and he ate the showbread, and he did all kind of stuff that only the priests were supposed to do. Well, why could he do that? Because of his relationship with God. And you know, we can step over into realms in God that are so beyond where we think we can go if we have that relationship with Him.
Trust.
You know. But anyway, I'm saying too much.
No, you're not.
But anyway, that's the difference. And David stepped up into the grace of God. Saul was still functioning by the law. Well, bless God, I'm going to bring a bunch of gifts back to you, God. I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff, and that'll make it okay that I didn't do exactly what you told me to do. And you know, a lot of times we think that. I'm going to give something to the Lord. I'll give a big donation to the Lord, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And you know, all of our gifts and all of our things that we bring are filthy rags to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. God tells you to do something, do what He tells you, stop at that. Do that. And I'll tell you what, if we do that, we'll find that we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we're walking with Him. And it's that simple. It's not real complicated. Mm-hmm. We make it complicated a lot of times, but it's not very complicated. And, you know, our sins are forgiven. We were covered with the blood of Jesus on Calvary. All of our sins are forgiven. We've been forgiven of any. I don't care what you do today or tomorrow, you've already been forgiven for it. But you have to be willing to confess it and ask the Lord to come into your life and help you change. And that's where a lot of times we have a tendency. We don't want to do that. We don't want to admit we're wrong. We don't want to admit that we've made a mistake or whatever in the natural. And, you know, pride goes before a great fall. When we let that pride rise up in us, it'll beat us down every time, you know. Praise the Lord.
When David hesitated confessing, he started getting sick. And then I like when Mike read the message, it says, then I let it all out. You know, have you ever just let it all out, and how cleansing that is, and how wonderful that is when you just get it off your chest once and for all?
Well, there's something about that letting it all out that allows you to be empty enough to receive all that forgiveness.
And that's the key.
Yes.
You can let it all out, but then accept more junk. Or you can let it all out and then get into His Word, get into prayer, get back into fellowship, and then you're way ahead of the game. But then this is, I just thought was really cool. Then it goes on to say, suddenly the pressure was gone. Why do we want to keep pressure on ourselves? Why don't we want to release it all the time? You know, David hesitated. We do the same thing. You know, why don't we want to just, let's get that pressure off, you know? My guilt dissolved, my sin disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2 Samuel 12:13, David went to the prophet Nathan, and he said, you know, which it's basically, it says the same thing. He did exactly what James 5:16 says. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. We all want to be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. But David in 2 Samuel 12:13 went to the prophet Nathan and said, I have sinned against the Lord. And you know what Nathan said? The Lord also has put away your sin. You will not die. Well, guess what? If he hadn't have done just that, David was going to die.
Relationship to this. Psalm 51 says, this was David after he had committed adultery, had the man killed, and everything else. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, not according to my goodness, but according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions.
There you go.
And my sin is always before me, and against you, and you only, have I sinned.
Yes.
Now he had that man killed, but he realized that where he really sinned was against God.
Yes.
places that, well, I was wrong. I've really messed up here. Nobody likes to do that in the natural, because it kind of cuts into your pride and your self-sufficiency and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? We're not self-sufficient. In our pride, we need to throw that in a garbage can when it comes to the Lord and just tell the Lord, I'm sorry, I've messed up here. Please forgive me. And you know what? He does. It's instantaneous.
Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, forgive us, and we'll forgive others. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why we continuously go through this process working out our salvation and trying to walk in the perfection that Jesus Christ is walking in. Every time the Holy Spirit convicts us of doing something wrong, I think it kind of keeps us in a humble place too, because when we see that same sin in our brothers and sisters, you know, if we don't forgive ourselves, then we're not going to forgive our brothers and our sisters either. And I think that scripture where it says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, it's just a constant process of forgiveness. And it always will be, really.
But see, part of it, too, in the natural, is people, you can be rejected by somebody, too. I mean, that's why people a lot of times don't want to do it, because if they start screwed up, I did this, or I didn't do this, you know, you don't know how the other person's going to take it. It could swing it away. So I think that's why a lot of times people hold back and maybe not lay it out there, because you just don't know how it's going to be received. And that's something you struggle with a lot of times, too, the person.
Mm-hmm. You know, one time when I first got saved, before I got saved, my brother and I, we drag raced. We had cars. We built cars and we drag raced. And I worked in a machine shop. And we were building an engine, and I took home an indicator or something to check something on the engine from the machine shop that I worked in. This was before that day. And after I had that in the garage and checked the stuff with it, I thought, well, they don't pay me enough, and they're not doing good enough for me. I'm just going to keep this. So I decided to keep it.
So you justified it.
I justified it. I ground the serial numbers off. Something sat down inside me, oh, no, you don't. You have two. And I thought, sunk down. And I thought, what am I going to do here? And I just got saved. I don't get saved for time. So I called the boss. I went home and I told Margaret. I said, I feel like I have to tell him I had that other indicator. She said, oh, but you might lose your job. And I was the only one working. Margaret was, you know, she was a domestic goddess at home. Anyway, she says, you might lose your job. You might lose your job. Oh, we did. I said, no. I said, I feel like I have to tell him. I said, even if I lose my job. I called that guy over, and this is just to go show you how the Lord works. I called this guy over, and I said, Ed, I said, you know, yesterday, I said, when you came by and asked me, did I have any other indicators, I told you no. I only had the one. And I said, that wasn't true. I said, I have another one. I ain't calling it back. And I said, and I stole this.
Wow.
And he said, you didn't steal that, Oscar. You borrowed it. I said, no, Ed, I stole it. He said, no, you just borrowed it. He said, we've all borrowed stuff from here and stuff. I said, no, Ed. I said, I stole it. I said, if you want to fire me, I said, and I'm not trying to talk you into firing me. I'm serving the Lord now, and I said, I feel like I can make this right. He said, you didn't steal that, Oscar. You didn't borrow it. You're okay. Don't worry about that.
He wouldn't believe you if you showed him where you ground off
that. No, but see, the thing is that so many times we tell ourselves, oh, if I confess or if I try to make this right, it's going to go terribly wrong. Well, God just showed me there. Son, when I tell you to do something, do it.
That's right.
It'll work out.
You're not responsible for the results.
I'll take care of it.
Right.
But even if I lost my job, guess what?
He'd have found me another one.
He gave me another job. Probably
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
You know.
Yes.
Because I was obedient, would have been obedient, did what he told me. But you know, so many times if we let our reasoning mind, they'll reason us right out of
mm-hmm. it. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, but if I do that, this will probably happen. That'll probably happen.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If God tells you to do something, do it. Mm-hmm. And then leave the results with him. Let him
yes. Yes.
You serve
yes.
a good captain.
We definitely
yes.
do.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I can see that we're learning to trust him more. Circumstances or situations that's going on in our life, that God is really after our good. He is really wanting to bless us, to work things out. And I'm learning that no matter what's happening around, the more that I trust him and believe him, no matter what the circumstances, even some I put myself
yes.
in, that he works it out for my good and mm-hmm. he gets glory from it. Because he is after us to absolutely trust him
yes.
with all things, in all things, you know, in our lives. And I'm fine. It's a process. I know we, you know, repent, but there's still this process of knowing and trusting and yielding completely to him. I'm finding this daily.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Yes. Kind of like what you said, Oscar, I bought Tyler this Nike hat like around Christmas time. And I knew sometimes he wavers on what to say to me or how to say, or should he kind of like skip around the truth or not, because he doesn't know I'm getting back, like I was saying before. So last week, I asked about 2 or 3 days, and then I knew he had lost it. He didn't want to come out and tell me. So then the other day, he came up from school and said, give me that hat because I did lose it. I just had it down and it's gone. You know, so that he was afraid how it reacts. Because sometimes, you know, I get upset when it's on.
Really?
He was figuring that off, just telling me the truth and saying, you know, don't be bad about the hat because, yeah, I did lose. I said it down, it's gone.
That's that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's stressed out because yeah. he knows I'm going to be upset because I spent the money and bought that hat. But, you know, I was and I was like, at least you told me that you lost. I'm not going to keep asking every day about your Nike hat because it's gone. You don't know how someone's going to react, and that's why as people, we sometimes don't do it.
We'll only learn that if we'll just do what the Lord tells us to do in the situation, it'll be okay.
That's right.
It'll work out.
I'll take
whatever,
care of it all.
Whatever the results are, it'll work out.
I always used to love to make my one child that I had to raise understand that if you tell me, it's always better.
Right.
And, you know, he did something one time and he ruined the tabletop, totally ruined the finish on the tabletop. And he put this something on it, you know, to try and cover it up. And finally he said, look at what I did. And I said, Chris, I said, honey, did you do that on purpose? He said, no. I said, did you do it because you don't like me? And he said, no. I said, well, it's only a thing. It's just a thing.
Right.
People are so much more important than things, and I really love it that you told me, you know. But don't ever worry about telling me something that you did. It's always so much better
mm-hmm.
to tell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? That's adjourned. Sue, you want to pray?
Thank you, Lord, for this session, my God. And thy will be done in the service. Let your spirit have his way in
yes.
the name of Jesus. And let us be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.